you would please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 7. The book of Luke, chapter 7. We're going to begin reading verse 36. We'll go all the way through to verse 47. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 47. Here we go. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom had forgave most. And he saith unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto him, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Jesus, we love you today. Thank you, God, again, for speaking to our hearts. Help the ears of the hearers to hear and the hearts to be able to receive what it is that you have for us today. We give you praise and glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, The Power of Love. The Power of Love. And I begin this afternoon by extending a welcome to all of you this Valentine's Day of 2021. Welcome. It concerns to relationships between people. The most powerful words of one's devotion to another are the words, I love you. For when it is you who says these three words, what it is that you in effect are saying to your chosen significant other is, I'm committed to you. It is the love that both calls for and then will demand from the one who declares it, none other than a commitment of their life as well as their love, which is completely detached from others, as it is their love which solely attaches to you. There's a certain kind of love that you don't share around, that you don't say, I'll give you this kind of love today and tomorrow, and I'll share it with the other person the other 3 days or 4 days of the week. But sometimes it comes with it, love that you carry and that you bear for one is one that solely attaches to them. The words I love you are secure, or should be secure. And the reason is because love is not just a feeling, but your love for another is that which needs to be shared in the good times, the bad times, during the lean times, and even such times as great want. For it is throughout all of these noted occasions that life brings, where the power of love is what possesses the ability to pull each of you together through. The scriptures outline the power of love as it is written in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, the first portion of verse 8. The Apostle Paul, using the word charity as another word for love, he writes, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, or love, never fails. So today it may be you whose heart and life is one that is dedicated to another. That is you who declares to them your allegiance, your loyalty, your commitment, your faithfulness, under the banner of that power of love. And from the very declaration from within your heart, I say, and that may you never be one to waver in that of your commitment to the one that you in your life have given that power of love to. Today's relationships are feigning, just as this world is. When you say, I love you today, it doesn't mean I'm going to love you tomorrow. When you commit to a soul, it means, well, things are going great, we'll stick together. When they go bad, see you later. But I pray that if you've given that power of love to a soul, that you'll hang on to that and you'll keep it. You'll remember your commitment. And having said this today, in view of it being Valentine's Day, this afternoon, Isaiah wants to share with you some other factors that come into play and concerns to that of the power of love. First, the power of love, that is one that is found often stepping outside of the realm of a relationship of a couple. As if the power of love reaches out and into that of a realm within our lives that time and time again has been that which has defied the very logic of what it is that we as humankind can do and indeed have actually done. I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think that a human could ever do something like that. See, when it's you who possesses the power of true love, when it is the power of love that calls for a sacrifice for you to give of yourself or to do that which places or can be what places your very life in jeopardy, it, the power of love within the confines of your heart and soul, will effectively be that which doesn't take you any length of time before you and your life respond or are prepared to just do it. I love you so much, nothing's going to stand in my way. Nothing will stop me. It was on a warm summer's day while a woman was in her kitchen. It was her little girl who played in the yard, and unbeknown to the distracted mother, the child's ball had gone over the fence, and as the young child went to fetch it, as she stepped between two parked vehicles, she was struck by a passing vehicle, which screeched to a halt, pinning the young child under the tires. As the screams rang out, the mother rushing out the front door, she stared horrified at her little girl's body that lay trapped beneath the tires of the vehicle. And without a thought, it was the mother who, rushing to the side of the car, lifted the vehicle up and pulled her little girl free, effectively saving the young child's life. No, that's impossible. The lady, she was too small herself to lift a vehicle off of her child. Not when it comes to the working of that unexplainable power, that power of love that has within it the resident that's inside of every human being. That power of love goes beyond anything you could imagine, what you think you could do when you're put up against something that you thought you can't do. One late evening, while a family was sleeping, a fire broke out in their home, and as the parents and the two children, they rushed out of that burning house with sirens shrieking in the distance before their wakening eyes, the home was full of smoke, and flames leapt from the windows and from the roof. And during this time of confusion, there was heard the screams and cries of a young child that was trapped on the second floor in her bedroom. They thought everyone had escaped, but in the confusion of trying to get out, one child was still in that house. And as the flames continued to shoot out of the windows and as the smoke filled their house, it was without a thought. It was the father of the child who had forgotten inside that child, who rushed into the home and through the smoke and the flames to only emerge as the emergency vehicles pulled up, that child wrapped in a blanket with his own clothes on fire, and in the end that father sustained third-degree burns to his body and had lost his hair and his eyebrows. But his young daughter was only shaken thanks to that father. She was both safe and unharmed. But he could have died. He could have died in that fire. Actually, you know, both of them may never have gotten out. No matter the consequence, what was at work was none other than that of the power of love. I don't believe the father saw the flames. I don't believe he cared about the smoke. He had a baby inside. He was going to go in that house. He didn't care what any. Nobody would stop him as he rushed through there, choking on the smoke, his clothes beginning to catch fire. Up there stairs he would go to grab that child, wrapping her, protecting her, and rushing out towards that door. You see, disregarding one's own life and safety is, it is the person who is in the possession of that power of love who, upon an instinct, just reacts and worries about the consequences later. These real-life accounts are they that demonstrate very clearly the selfless acts of those who, through the power of love, had placed their own lives at risk in order to perform tasks that in the natural realm would be considered literally, if not only completely impossible, but unable to explain. What it is I'm attempting to bring across to you this afternoon is the fact that the power of love is what will cause you as a person to go to heights and depths that you or anyone else would never imagine you could do. I believe with all my heart, that no doubt in concerns to that story of the fire, that when those policemen pulled up and the ambulance pulled up and the fire truck pulled up, they looked at that father. Maybe somebody had grabbed a blanket and they were wrapping it around him to put the flames out of his own clothes. It was just bewilderment. They couldn't believe that he actually went in to the second floor, came back out, and had a baby in his arms, a little child. I didn't think any father, anybody would be able to do that. In concerns to that of my own personal life, it was the power of love that caused my mother to go without food and other necessities of life and her desire to feed and to provide for her three children as a single mother. It was in my later years of life that she told me stories of her own personal sacrifices, the one that she herself had the choice to either forgo or to be willing to go without under that banner of her deep-seated love for her children rather than herself. I remember as a young boy looking, and we had our plates were set out and the food was set out, and she'd dish out our food, and she would do that, and she would do things to help us to get clothing, and she always make sure that we were nice and clean when we went to school. No matter how haggard she looked, her children had to look good. I want you to know today that the power of love is that which causes a person to step out of the realm of taking care of their own personal needs, as their love being what motivated them to sacrifice even the face of a possible cost of them suffering themselves. I'm not concerned about me. I'm concerned about you. I care about your life. I'm going to put you first. In our scriptural text today, the Bible speaks of a sinner woman, one who came to the house where Jesus was. Now, this woman didn't come to socialize with the other guests, nor was she there to visit the Pharisee. No, she was there to see and to minister in her way to Jesus. She was there, no doubt, seeking mercy from the only one who she knew could offer it. Well, Simon didn't perceive this. No, he only saw the fact that a sinner woman had come and was focusing her attention upon Jesus as she wiped Jesus' feet with her hair and washed Jesus' feet with her tears. But it wasn't Simon who had seven devils cast out of him. It wasn't Simon whose life of misery and suffering that had been miraculously delivered by the one called Jesus. No, it wasn't. So you might ask a question, so then, well, why would a woman such as this come into a home where Jesus was? To express a humble show of her love for Jesus and all it was that he had done for her. speaking of the power of love in view of that of a soul's willingness to humble themselves and to seek in their lives to give of themselves beyond the purpose of perceived natural limits, to the place where it, the power of love, shows itself in a very evident fashion, the existence of a spirit of humility, along with a desire to put another first. See, Zayu believes that the power of love that that woman possessed for her Savior is what drew her to that house, and it was a power of love that she was offering to Jesus through her own outward expression of an inward feeling for Jesus Christ, her Messiah, whom she was privileged to be able to show in the most humbling way the power of love that she was able to manifest before him, and in her desire to offer as a humble gift of her love. I mean, could you imagine, you know, somebody walks into church and, you know, we're saved and everything's all happy and we got the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name, our life's together and we're living for God and we have that love for God and we are faithful to our services. We, in this lockdown time, we get on to the online service and we are there. But what about somebody who hadn't heard this message and hadn't had this opportunity? It's their life that is in disarray. It's their life that is a mess. It's their family that lies in tatters. It's their home that's all broken up. Maybe you invite them over and they sit in your home and you turn on that Zoom and they begin to hear something like this and tears begin to flow and you look at them like, my goodness, it might be a good message, but look at them. They're just a mess and they're crying and maybe they get on their hands and feet and they put their head upon a chair and they begin to cry out to God and you're thinking, the message isn't even over yet. It's not even an altar call style yet. And what are you doing? What they're doing is they don't care if you're there. They don't care who you are. What they're feeling is a power of a love of the Savior that's reaching out to them. And it's a message that's speaking to their hearts. It's a message that's diving into the depths of their soul. And it's pulling out their brokenness and saying, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to turn you around because I love you. I believe the lesson we can learn from this passage of Scripture that we shared this afternoon is the fact that there remains no boundaries nor walls that should have the power to stop you, and it is the power of love working in you. Just like it was for that woman, as I said, who was willing to freely express to Jesus her love and admiration for the fact that Jesus had come and had set her soul free. I guess it didn't get a lot, you know, your life, you came into church, you were a good old boy or maybe a good old girl, you didn't have a lot of things wrong, and you know what? It's Jesus' privilege to give you his Spirit, it's his privilege to have your sins washed away, but what about that one that wasn't privileged? It's a whole lot different, just like he told in that scripture. Maybe it's you who owe hundreds of pence. It is you whose life was really a mess. And today you stand with a right mind and a right heart with a desire to live for Jesus like none other, but the other just goes through the motions and offers him their pittance of praise. This afternoon, as I now seek to turn the page from that of our natural selves and lives through such illustrations, today, in my desire to bring this message of the power of love home to you this day, I want to now share with you what I believe to be the greatest of examples of giving and going beyond every natural sense and of a selfless sacrifice, as it was our great God up in heaven who, through the power of love and concerns to we as his creation, had gone to every unimaginable means in order to redeem we as fallen man from being from that pending eternal destruction of our souls. It's in the book of John, chapter 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse 13. The book of John, chapter 15, and verse 13, it's Jesus Christ who declares, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And in the book of John, chapter 3, the first portion of verse 16, one of the most quoted scriptures of the denominational church world, John 3:16 in the very first portion. It reads as Jesus declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave." See, it was the power of love that compelled God to robe himself in flesh, providing himself in the form of Jesus Christ to become the ultimate sacrifice for sin, a sacrifice that would end any further need of a sacrifice. And it was as a result of the power of love that Jesus Christ, he chose to endure the mocking, the whipping post, the crown of thorns. It was he who was spit upon, slapped, he was made fun of, etc. But he, as Jesus did this, he did it because of a love that he had and that he has for we as his, as he as God's people. In the end, it was the power of love that why Jesus willingly lay down and was nailed to the cross in order to fulfill the need of a life to be given for the lives that were to be spared. You ever wondered what it would have been like to suffer death by crucifixion? Here's just a glimpse of what Jesus had to endure. Right from the initial scourging, this in itself would have weakened Jesus' body and aiding the massive blood loss as well as the shock. By the time Jesus had carried his cross, except for the time that Simon taking it from him, once having been nailed to the cross, the weight of Jesus' body and being suspended by his arm, it is said that one being crucified would not be able to properly exhale. Not being able to breathe properly as the shoulders of the one crucified would certainly dislocate themselves, causing slow suffocation style of death. See, that's why the soldiers normally broke the legs of those crucified in order to stop them from being able to hold themselves up, thereby bringing their miserable lives to death's end. And today, I ask you to consider what it was that Jesus Christ requested in return. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How about 1 John, the epistle of John, way in the back. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. For it's 1 John 2:15 where Jesus cries out, "Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Let's go to the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through 30. Here's Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Is that what he asked for? How about the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. I'll let you get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Starts by saying, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you." That's nice. But it goes on. "And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Well, that's just a whole lot to ask. I can't believe just because he died for me, he lays all this upon us. That's almost cruel. That's unheard of and unspoken of. How can he want me to follow him and love him and give my life to him? See, in Jesus' bid to seek to gather unto himself and to reconcile the lost souls whose destiny was never meant to be theirs, in the undeniable show of the power of love that Jesus as our God possessed, you know, I've often wondered how it is that people in general have gotten to the place in their lives wherein they would rather remain as prisoners in and within their addictions and their captive state of life, rather than to be willing to allow Jesus Christ and the power of his love to be what forever becomes that which sets their, even your imprisoned soul free. Can I tell you about Jesus? Get lost. Can I tell you what God has done for me in my life? Not interested in hearing it. Can I tell you what God wants to do for you? Move on, buddy. In the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, let's turn that together. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 11. See, it's God who has Ezekiel write, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Why is it that a vast majority of people in our world turn their backs upon the opportunity to be forever be with Jesus Christ in his paradise? It is the power of love, is it? It's not the power of love, not for another. Nor is it the power of love that driven by the understanding of a life that was given and a sacrifice made. No, but sadly, it's because of the power of love for a world gone wrong. It is the Bible that declares how that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's found in John 3:19. Many times the life of a man named Demas is spoken of in preaching. Pastors, evangelists, preachers, they use his name. He was a man who was there during Jesus' earthly ministry. He was a man that no doubt had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of his sins. But it was Demas whom the Bible records. He loved this present world. And it remains to be the same testimony of thousands of others like him, those who refuse to let go of the very chains that hold them, and even some of you today bound. A life of dysfunction, a life of addiction, a desire for the dark things of this world. Those whose power entraps you, that has the ultimate power to destroy not just your earthly life, but your eternal soul in that place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels. See, it's the devil who keeps the music going. It's the devil who flashes the lights and tries to blind you. And it's the devil who leads you down and wants you to continue down that path. And you think, well, you know, I'm a young man or a young lady, and I'm at a party of my friends, and they offer me a drink. Well, I'll have one drink. And before you know it, they're back by again, and they offer you another drink, and you say, no, I'm okay. And they say, oh, come on, have another drink. And before you know it, you're fully intoxicated. And maybe even in that same party, a bit of drugs are opened up and being passed around. And before you know it, everything is gone in your natural sense, and you no longer can think. And it's the devil who sits back, and he begins to laugh, and he thinks he's going, I got another one. I caught that one. I'm going to destroy that one. I've got my grips on that one. And so you go home from that party, and maybe you're sick, you're throwing up, you stay home from work, and before you know it, you start to shake, and you think, I've got to go get another fix. I've got to do this again. And you come to find yourself those that are more than happy to offer you drugs or more than happy to give you things. And all that whole time in the back of your little life that's being played out, there's a devil, and he's laughing, and he's letting you know in his own subtle way that you're a captive and that you're going to belong to him. He's going to keep you in your chains. So what it is I've come to offer to you, to those of you who have yet to taste of the powers that come from above, is the opportunity to walk away from your prisons, to be the one to turn your back upon a world that is on a collision course with hell. And to once and for all, to be the one to give your love and your life under the banner of a power of love to a Savior who this day waits for you with open arms. time it was said, Jesus, you know, how much do you love me? How much do you love me? As the saying goes, he spread forth his arms and he died. See, if it's you who this day, who is the one who's already been the one to experience the power of love that your Savior has given, then it's I who admonishes you to never be the one to allow the power of love that has called you and saved your soul to ever become cold, indifferent to that of the moving of the Spirit of God upon your life. Or in the day that you do, be aware of the fact that it will be your adversary who will be the one waiting outside of the safety of God's fold, this time maybe claim your soul for all eternity, not with God, but with him in that place of darkness, the place that once you are there, it is your soul that will never escape. Being in church, the length of years that I've been in church, I want to tell you that I've watched people come into the church and repent of their sins, get baptized in Jesus' name, God fill them with the Holy Ghost, clean up their life, put their families back together, help their children to begin to seek God when they had no interest in God, have a husband or a wife that wasn't saved and didn't want nothing to do with God, suddenly turn their life around. I've watched and I've seen in the lives of people that the devil begins to taunt them and to call them out and to try to lead them back. And maybe the man steps out and he's coming home from work and they're all stopping by the bar and he stops in for one drink, and before you know it, he comes home a drunk, and he comes home and desires that alcohol back. And maybe it's that woman who one time was looking godly and was really giving her life to God and helping to lead her children. Well, suddenly she starts getting into magazines and different things that are giving her false relationships and taking her down a road. And suddenly she becomes jealous and always questioning, and her husband and her kids don't want to go to Sunday school no more. No, they want nothing to do with God because mommy doesn't want nothing to do with God and daddy's just a drunk. And you know what? This time it might not be those nail-scarred hands that reach for them. This time it might not be them who escape the devil's talons. It might be him who hangs on to them. And they go from this life and they enter a life for all eternity, never to break free again. Never to escape. So the message that I have for all of you this Valentine's Day is the fact that it's Jesus Christ, our great God Almighty, that loves you, that loves us with an everlasting love. It is he, Jesus, who on this day waits patiently for you to come to that place where it's you who begins to understand just what the power of his, Jesus' love, is prepared to do in order to redeem your soul from being lost to being one that spends an eternity with him in heaven. I want you to know that as long as there's life and breath, it's Jesus Christ who ceases not to be the one through the power of love, to be the one that reaches out for you. Saved or not, it's that same power of love and concerns to your life that Jesus is longing to bestow upon you. And I ask, why don't you take a hold of those nail-scarred hands today? And why don't you in your life willingly trade your rags for riches? Why don't you just cast aside, you know, take that bottle and push it away. Take those smokes and bust them up and throw them in the garbage. Take that dope and flush it down the toilet. Why don't you say, you know what? Why do I have to live like this? No, I can reign as kings and priests with Jesus Christ in heaven. And I can trade all this prison and this addictions and captivity for freedom and for love in Jesus Christ. As the music begins to play today, I want you all to know that time and concerns to this world and all that are in it is running out. Eternity's clock is ticking, and it's the power of love through such a message as this that's calling out to you, that's reaching out to you. And all that you in your life have got to do is to be willing enough to allow there to come a transfer of the power of love that you have for this world, to turn your focus and attention upon the power of love, your Savior, Jesus Christ, and start walking towards a life that not only offers you a peace that passes all understanding, but a joy unspeakable. Jesus Christ offers to all of us the opportunities I've already said today to rise one day to meet him in the air where we'll ever be with our Lord for all eternity. What a joyous day. Say, you know what? We made it. High five it. Thank God. We made it. And you look and you begin to see all the goodness of God and the beauty of God and what He's done and what He's prepared for you. And I made it. I made it. I didn't grow cold. I didn't become indifferent. I didn't walk away. I hung on to that power of love, Jesus Christ, in my life. And here I am today with Jesus in eternity. As we stand together today, I want you to know that we're rounding the corner, saints of God. Now is not the time to put down your sword. Now is not the time to relax upon your love and your commitment. Sir, ma'am, now is not the time to say, you know what, I'll put it off till tomorrow. I'll wait to give my life to God. I'll wait. I got time. I'll have a couple more drinks, a couple more smokes, tokes. I'll live it up a little bit more. I'll honky-tonk and get into the bars. And I, you know what? There's a lot of guys out there I can go play. And there's a lot of girls I can go out there and play. And there's a whole life that I've got of worldly things. But time's running out. The world will ever increasingly grow darker. And it's the light of the church and the people of God that needs to shine brighter as the day approaches of Jesus' return. Why don't you come with us? Why don't you come with me? Why don't you allow Jesus Christ into your home, into your heart today? Why don't you understand that you're not free, but you're in chains? But it's Jesus Christ who's coming to set you free. Finally today, why don't you, whoever you are and wherever you are in concerns to God this day, why don't you open up your heart to the power of God's love and begin to allow it to shine through you? Just take a couple minutes right now at the end of the service. Don't hit the off button. Hit the up button. Closing your eyes and saying, God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to know that I love you. God, I want that power of love to shine in my heart today. It's Valentine's Day. We sung the songs about how we love you. And right now, in this moment, this very time, I want to begin to tell